Repetitio est mater studiorum. If you haven't taken Latin, or you forgot your Latin, that means this. Repetition is the mother of all learning. Repetitio est mater studiorum. Well, today, in four verses, Jesus repeats the word remain. He's trying to teach us something. That word remain, in the original Greek, is deeply significant. It means way more than just stay. It carries the connotation of abiding, or dwelling, or living. So when Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you, we could translate that as abide in me as I abide in you. Dwell in me as I dwell in you. How beautiful. Live in me as I live in you. Friends, that living in Jesus, that's the key to Christianity. Often what happens is this. We reduce Christianity to action, to the moral life. So it looks like this. I'm a good Christian if I do good Christian things. Or honestly, and probably more realistically, I'm a good Christian if I don't do certain sinful things. But that's not Christianity. See, Jesus wants much more for us than for us to simply avoid sin, even though he wants that for us. And he wants much more for us than for us to be morally upright people, even though he wants us to be morally upright people. So what is the much more that he wants? Well, the great Dominican priest, Father Paul Murray, he writes this. Jesus wants to live his life in you. Jesus wants to live his life in you. Think about that. If you really think about that, if you think seriously about that, that will change your whole life, that one line. That Jesus wants to live his life in you. Now you might understand why one of my favorite prayers from Mass is through him and with him and in him. You see how much more deep and rich that is than just doing something for someone? Jesus wants to live in us. We're called to be drawn up into the very life that he shares with his Father. That's why he came to earth. He says, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. That full life is not just earthly life. It's way bigger. It's the life of God coming to us even now on this earth. That's what we're about. But brothers and sisters, that's not just a one and done deal. Our Protestant friends who say once saved, always saved, that's not right. We actually have to remain in Jesus. We have to stay with him. Quick analogy. I was over in Our Lady's Chapel this morning, and there's some fresh flowers. They've already been picked, so I picked one off the ones that were already picked. It looks nice, doesn't it? Okay, it's dead. This is dead. It will not live. No matter how much water we put in the vase, no matter how much plant food we put in the water, this will die because it's cut off from its roots. It has been plucked from the vine, to use the gospel analogy, and it will fall apart. It will disintegrate. Well, brothers and sisters, that could be us. And the analogy is a good one because we could do something that plucks us off the vine who is Jesus. And we could say, I'm doing fine. Look, it's pretty. But the problem is, there's no new life coming into it. It's not rooted. It cannot grow. It's going to die. And die it will. Eventually, these petals will start to fade, they'll fall off, and eventually the whole thing will turn brown and dry and dead. And so too you and I could, if we are cut off from the vine, who is Jesus. Jesus meant it when he said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," in today's gospel. He meant that. He didn't mean, "Oh, apart from me, you'll be mostly good. Apart from me, you'll be basically happy." No, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because he is the one who holds us in existence. He's the one who brings life to us every moment. Well, that apart from me, you can do nothing, we fall into as sinners. It's our temptation to separate us from God, who is our life. And almost all of our anxiety and sadness and worries, they almost all come from doing exactly that. To have some area, or maybe even multiple areas of our lives, that we try to maintain control over apart from, separate from God. Sometimes we even align ourselves against him in certain areas. Well, brothers and sisters, how's that working out for you? It's miserable. We're not made that way. We're made to be in full communion with God. That's what he wants for us. That's why he came. So we have to be grafted onto him, grafted onto the vine. We have to be rooted in him so that we can draw the life that comes from only him. In a word, we have to let him live his life in us. We have to let him live his life in us. That remaining in Jesus, living in him and letting him live in us, that is both concrete and dynamic. So concrete, as opposed to abstract. If we live in the Lord, it will look like something. It will be a concrete action that we live in. Our second reading this morning, St. John writes, "Children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth." Real actions, deeds. That's why you coming to Mass this morning is a really good thing that I don't take for granted. It's a real action. It's a real movement. And so many of you outside of Mass, your personal prayer, your taking care of the poor, your formation in the faith, both for yourself and for others, all those are real actions. And God sees those and is very pleased because in doing those things, you open yourself to the life that he wants to give. You root yourself in him. So concrete, not abstract. We live an incarnational faith. And then dynamic, as opposed to static. Dynamic, that's a word that has Greek roots, dunamis. It means power. It's where we get the English word dynamite from. Power enters into our lives when we live in Jesus. Because God is powerful. It's his power that enters our life when we live in him. And that power is necessary because we are not powerful enough to save ourselves, to fix this world, to bring about the change that needs to happen, not only in our own lives, but in our society, in our culture, in our world. We are not powerful enough. Except if we're rooted in him. Then we can, with St. Paul, say, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. There will be power that enters in. That's exactly what the church is about. To plug you into the divine power that comes to us in the sacraments especially, and then in our spiritual lives. And then to bring that power into the world, to effect change. That's your job. You know my job. My job is to give you Jesus in the sacraments and to preach the gospel and to teach the faith. That's my job. Your job is to take that very power and then go change the world, to change your families, to change your neighborhoods, to change your workplace. That's your job. And you're equipped to do that job by the one who gives himself to you at this very altar. Tomorrow, we celebrate the feast of a great saint, St. Catherine of Siena, one of the doctors of the church. So a couple of quotes from her. She said, "If you are who God calls you to be, you will set the world ablaze." If you know who you are in Jesus Christ, you will change the world. You will set the world ablaze with his love. In concrete deeds, with dynamic power, the Lord will send you to change the world. And then she said this, "Do not be satisfied with little things, because God wants great things." I hope when you came to Mass today, your heart was stirring for great things. But I wonder about that. I wonder how many come to Mass just thinking, "Oh, little things." No, we're made for great things. Pope Benedict XVI, "The world offers you comfort. You were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness." I have to be honest. In 17 years as a priest, I have never seen someone who I said, "Oh, I'm worried about that person. They're trying to do too much with their life." It's never happened once. What happens all the time, that man doesn't know who he is. He's settling for too little. That woman doesn't know how much God loves her. She's settling for too little. We as a church, we settle for too little. Because God gives us everything in the Eucharist. He gives us himself. So why are we settling? Why settle for scraps when the Lord has prepared a perfect banquet for us? Why settle for safety and control when the Lord has set up a great adventure for us? Why settle for being mediocre when the Lord calls us to the heights of holiness in this life and then to live forever with him in the next? Friends, don't be settled. Don't be satisfied with little things. God wants great things. But even more than the great things, Jesus wants to live his life in you. He wants to live his life in you. Today, Jesus wants to live his life in you. Will you let him?